here, and I've been here quite often for the Tandai Festival, which is one of the highlights of my year. And this year I thought, I don't have time, I have too much to do to organise the trip and find the money. And then this happened, this tour that Robin and I are now on, which is kindly arranged by the Australian Poetry Centre in Melbourne, and is funded by the Australia Council, which means that most of the time we're staying at fabulous hotels, which is very unusual. Anyway, I'm just going to read, I've been very stupid and not printed out any recent poems, so I did bring my laptop, so we'll see how we go with time, because I'd like to read some recent poems, but I'll start from my a couple from my collection attempt at being. This poem called Leaves. Each leaf is a tree which makes everything more difficult every second, expanding like a breath in directions it didn't anticipate. As if a face beckons behind its shadow. I did not understand how the sea folded like that in slow, complex darknesses under this huge moon motionlessly roiling. And my hands released them suddenly, no longer pursuing anything, and the blood sang in my eyes, filled leaves with light, spreading each into trees, the endlessly ripples out ripples. The skin on my hands grows older, and life is more sad than I could possibly imagine when you simply showed me despair. What multiplies there under your face? Oh, show me your harmed skin. Show me the white, unblemished fears. We are not as solitary as all that. Give me the scalpel which severs us. Surely now, even in the corrupted air. My daughter's hair is not more dark than the cold waves of anesthetic which punctures the illusion of deathlessness we carry like an icon into each morning, no smaller than moonlight, her quick hands leap into my face and dissolve as if either of us were an assertion here, plucked and frozen in a photo, like a secret pain budding in her eyes, which is so close to love you can almost touch it. One more from this book, which is from a sequence called Amplitude, which was one of those poems that just kind of had a natural occurrence. Occasionally this happens. And it was one of those times when I wish they'd happen more often, where everything seemed transparent, and it was like there was no kind of barrier between the transformation of the external world and the internal world. They were just exchanging, which is in a funny way quite a joyous way of being, and bits arose every day. And this one happened at the time my children were going through a religious phase and decided they wanted to be confirmed, and we were forced to go to Mass for 10 weeks in a row. Which was quite, it was in quite a humble church in Newport, which is a fairly humble suburb of Melbourne, and it had a fiery priest who was, I liked him quite a lot, he was an old-fashioned priest and one of the, I suppose, he was very influenced by liberation theology and that kind of thing, and his work was boys in prison and so on. But anyway, he gave this sermon about a parable about the woman who went to the well, and this poem kind of emerged from that. And I hope I can read it. My eyes are gone really funny. I'm sure it's nothing to do with the dancing. So excuse me if I stumble. Was it me at the well? Me who caused much whispering because I would not try to read it. I would not take my second cousin for a husband, although he was rich and old, because he was, had wart on his nose and fat, wet hands. And because I had a lover, I would talk about to no one. But my lover married a woman with many fields and goats, and I hit the walls with my bloody fist, and then I went out and screamed in the grass where we had laid down, where he had held the rose of me in his trembling mouth, and I told no one. Now my knuckles are scarred and my beauty is gone and forgotten, but still the women whisper about me, and I walk to the well alone. And the man said, buy me a drink. I turned and laughed in his face and said, what, you ask me, and who the fuck are you? He leant over the bar, his beaten face all cross-grained under the coloured lights, and he said, I hold within me such unquenchable thirst that you will die thinking of how you refused them. And it will be you begging me for the ineluctable water, which burns your throat as if it were acid and which you may drink without stint, until it flowers inside the unknowing core of yourself, pure innocent pain such as you haven't known since the instant of your birth, which of course you can't remember. So I brought him a drink. And he said, and I'd like to read some from this book, which were written as part of a kind of game called poet Trevor Joyce made called Offset, which was a kind of online international collaboration. It was intensely complicated, involved all sorts of evolving trees and things like that. It was a wonderful game, and I actually got some poems out of it which were fun to write. And this is one called What the Glove Said. I am silken and wholesome. Sometimes in the night I am seen shaking. Jackals bay in the littered alleys, but I pay them no heed. Between one tooth and another, the iron passivity. I disgorge hands and sleep. I eat and wake. Such prey as use me never tell their names. I am fond of wordless proverbs. I am concerned with the skin of nearness. Love is a roof of rain and a habitation. Such tears I wipe would stun the bilious world. My dance is with the air. I hide and disclose like a poem. And this is not one of the offsets, but it's kind of similar. It's just called Patterns. The bees have declared an amnesty. Their dances are only lyrical effusions. And why are apricots so illiterate? If they diffuse their promiscuous perfumes, sliming the earth with rot. One has always mistrusted the language of cats and their devotion to hygiene. So many things slide and tumble, churches flounder in tides of mud, shoes dissolve in a week, and why do scissors keep disappearing? If you ask nature for absolution, it senselessly posts you flowers and blood, and fronds uncurl to tinier fronds and so on, which seem meticulous synonyms for murder, like a froth of hands on metallic surfaces, making and unmaking, and underneath the mindless carnivorous ocean. I'll just read a couple more, and these are from another sequence called Translations from Nowhere, which was, yeah, I like the idea of translations. things can be translated into other mediums and into different forms, into different experiences. I suppose these are those kinds of translations. Whatever drags downward the hard-handed hand softer than those, may leaven massy weights, O delicate knucklings of love. Those confusing perfumes, wafers taken out of the fragrant ovens to be laid on mutinous, on whatever stars, in crowds of noise, or between walls, neither silent nor friendly, where restless shadows take refuge from themselves wherever no rains fall. There may the tongue flood and flower. Harsh the stone that cracks the seed, harsh the fire, harsher still the heart's wordless need. You know how the ice breaks almost casually, revealing those black gaps of water that are reflectionless and of unknowable depth. It breaks, and there is nothing to be done. The ice breaks in its own time according to the secret fractures that were written there when it first formed. It breaks and the water fountains up, a white disaster, catching the murderous sunlight that has shone so gently for ages now, patiently flooding its music, unpicking bitter patterns to their crises, and looking down from these heights, how silent it seems suddenly, a deafness. Silent as flowers that open painlessly overnight, their sudden perfume, a pretense at coldness, but nibbled in each centre that tender pink, unafraid, and further in, something like an eye or a wing, something impossible. Thank you very much.